So welcome. This is the first Path Factor session of the Eightfold Path program for this year, which means that we'll be looking at the first step of the path, which is wise view. But I wanted to start just getting all of our names in the room and getting familiar. So I think everyone knows me. I'm Kim Allen. I've been here a number of times. And then my co-teacher for today is one of the other mentors in the program, and her name is Susan Ezekiel, and she lives in the area. It's originally from the IMC Sangha up in Redwood City, and spent some time living at Insight Retreat Center, also where I spent time, although we didn't overlap, unfortunately. So she's a longtime Dharma practitioner and serves as a Buddhist chaplain at Stanford Hospital, is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and she's been a mentor in this program up at Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City for the last 2 years, I believe. Three years. Every year it's been running. So we're delighted to have her now with a couple of students in this program, and to be with us today. And if she wants to add anything, she can, because she'll be doing much of the first half. I thought we would also quickly go around and just have everyone say their name. All right, we start here.
I'm Betsy.
Andrea.
Leslie.
Janet.
Carlota.
Angie.
Joanne.
Kurt.
Charles.
Charles. Carol.
Carol.
Kara.
Lisa.
Barbara.
Jen.
Rudy.
Eve.
Shelley.
Tom.
Jean.
Bill.
Leanne. John.
David.
Wonderful, thank you. And a few of the folks in the room are also mentors, so Leslie and G and Bill, as well as Susan and me. And then we also, I think, have two other mentors, Eileen Messina, also from Insight Retreat Center, and Dan Landry, who many of you know is another teacher here, who's on retreat right now, but he's just about off retreat, and we'll be having having the usual mentor set of mentees. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started with sitting and settling, and then we'll talk a bit about this path factor of wise view, and that will be Susan.
What is this actually?
It goes over the, like that.
Like that?
Like this, onto your ears.
Onto my ear.
There. Just around the back of your neck. It's pretty comfortable, actually. She may be loud enough without the microphone.
So, do I have it right? I can't really see it.
The other part goes on your left ear.
I can't.
That's your right ear, then the other one. There you go.
It goes on your
where
left
is it?
Ear.
I can't really
I like
see
glasses.
Where it is. Oh, there. This goes under my ear. I
there
see
you
now.
Yeah.
Okay. That?
Yep.
So yeah, so that the mic is close to your mouth.
We'll just
yeah.
bend it down. Okay. Perfect. There you go.
Okay,
you
so this
one.
Is the mic for the recording?
Nope.
This is the mic for the room, and this is the mic for the recording. Is that right?
One is the mic for these speakers, and the other is the
okay.
mic for people with hearing assist devices.
Oh,
the recorder
it.
Is just in the room.
Okay, yes.
We are high tech.
So, so how is the volume for everyone, then, of my voice? Is that good? So we'll take some time now to sit together, and I'll do a little guided meditation in the beginning. So just gently close your eyes, or you can keep them open, but generally it's easier to meditate with eyes closed, and take a few long, deep breaths. And as you breathe out any busyness or hurrying to get here. Just breathe that out. Let that go. Really come into your body. the sensations of breathing. The feeling of your sitting bones there on the chair or the cushion. Bringing you here and now. And just feel your breath. And just noting how it is in this moment, and however it is fine. We're just present for it. And I like to start out just having a sense of goodwill towards yourself. A sense of goodwill. We do this practice as a very deep way of caring for ourselves. So just take a moment to wish yourself well, safe, at ease. And then take that sense of goodwill and send it out into the room. May all here today be well and safe, at ease. And then take that sense of goodwill and send it out into the world. May all beings be well. May all beings be safe. May all beings find true happiness and contentment. Take a moment to bring your awareness to your body, starting with the abdomen and noticing if there's any tightness there, breathing into that tightness, relaxing the belly. Relaxing the chest. Feeling the breath moving in the body. Relaxing your jaw. And the hands, if there's any kind of gripping or clutching in your hands, just let your fingers open up and flow over your thighs or be loose. With a relaxed and alert attention, we're just present for our experience, the flow of our experience as human beings. Thoughts come and go. Feelings come and go. Physical sensations come and go. This is our human experience. We're just present and accepting of whatever arises. Here and now. Some experiences are pleasant. Some not so pleasant. It's okay in this practice that we have, pleasant or unpleasant. One experience coming into our awareness and then passing away. Some feelings of resistance to whatever arises, or a wish to hold on to something that's enjoyable. Just noticing this. Noticing how resistance or holding on feels in the body. Find yourself getting lost in thoughts of past or planning. Just take a few deep breaths. Come back to the body and start again. these last few minutes, just take a moment to note, notice. How do I feel now? Do I feel any different from when I came in? I'm just noticing. Any difference? Eightfold Path. Perhaps you are feeling noble today. If you're not feeling noble today, chances are you will feel noble at some point in our time together over the next few months.
I wonder if you can put the microphone a little higher.
A little higher?
Yeah, with maybe on your shirt or in front or something.
Okay.
Guys think? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, this is the path of the noble ones. And we're looking today at the first step on the path, which is wise view. Right or wise view. And this word view, we're not really talking about it in the way it's most often used in our culture. You know, what's your view or opinion on this candidate or that candidate? What's your view or opinion on this issue or that issue? That's not really what we're going to be talking about, that kind of view. What we're talking about is really a much broader, very broad, wide view, a very broad, wide way of looking at our life, our lives as human beings. Kind of, how do we want to frame this big picture here, this big picture, human life? And for some people, for those who have even thought about, you know, their life in this way, was it Socrates, the unexamined life is not worth living. But some people are just too busy to really, you know, reflect upon a question like this. How do I want to frame my life? And those who do, sometimes, you know, some people feel like, I want to be the most successful in my career. I want to be the best in my field of expertise. I want to be admired and I want to be sought after. or some people might think, well, I want to be wealthy. I want to figure out how to accumulate wealth. Or some people like to collect experiences, travel, collect as many experiences they can in their life. And that's kind of how they frame their experience. And so there's nothing wrong with these ways of framing a life. But our practice, Buddhist practice, really offers a much more a radical way of framing a life. And the cornerstone of the Buddhist teachings, the Four Noble Truths, this is how, as Buddhists, we create a lens for looking at our life, for framing our life, the Four Noble Truths. I mean, the Buddha did not concern himself with metaphysical questions, how did we get here, what's the nature of the universe. And he didn't really teach, he didn't really want to tell people what is true or what we should believe in. But what he did do is he gave us a way of looking at life, a radical way of looking at life, and he gave us tools. He gave us the tools that we can use to explore and discover for ourselves what is true for each one of us. What is it that we are in our deepest heart and mind? And this is the ennobling process. And we begin this ennobling process by practicing in just the way that we just did, as we began today with our meditation, fully present for that flow of human experience, thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, and really being present and observing our experience just as it is. And so when there is suffering or stress or a sense of dis-ease with our experience, and this is the first noble truth, right, that simply recognizes that suffering is part of life as a human being. And so as Buddhists, we want to turn towards our suffering. We look at the ways that we harden and resist. Mm-hmm. We look at the ways that we kind of grasp at things, hold on, the demands that we make on ourselves and on others, the drivenness, the conflicts that we have with the way things are sometimes. Sometimes they're unpleasant. Sometimes they're painful. And so this way of responding to experience, we see that it is these forces within us that are causing us to suffer, not out there. And so this is the second noble truth, right? That that our clinging and our craving, our wanting things to be other than what they are, we understand through our practice, we come to understand that this is the source of suffering. And then the third noble truth, that through our practice, this practice that we cultivate and develop with great energy and effort, it takes effort, dedication, determination, all those things that we bring to it, and that through this practice of deep inner investigation, that it is possible for each one of us to be free of those forces of greed and wanting and hatred and ill will and delusion. And this is what is ennobling. This is what is ennobling, the transformative power of this practice that the Buddha left for us. And so then the fourth noble truth, how do we how do we get to this freedom? How do we create this inner state of freedom? The Noble Eightfold Path. And we will walk that path together over this next year. And it's the Noble Eightfold Path that leads us to this inner state of being, a happiness and a contentment within that really doesn't depend on having things in the world outside of ourselves just the way we want them. And as we know, that's pretty impossible anyways, isn't it? And, you know, the Buddha actually, sometimes he would present himself as a physician, a doctor. And the disease that he wanted to cure is this suffering that we experience. And so he would diagnose the suffering. Here's the cause of the suffering. This craving, this wanting, this resistance to what is. And then he would come up with a cure. He did come up with a cure. And here is the treatment that you follow, the Noble Eightfold Path. I love that. I love that metaphor. And I think it's useful as we practice with our suffering and with our joys. I mean, I don't mean to, I mean, as Buddhists, we don't want to suggest that life is all suffering. Certainly there's a lot of joy and a lot of beauty, but there's also the suffering. And so I think it's useful to make a distinction between pain and suffering. Pain is inevitable as human beings. We all have these. We have these bodies. Our loved ones have these bodies. These bodies aren't built to last forever. They're not built to be healthy all the time. The things that we care about are really not solid, permanent. Nothing ever stays the same. And so there is the pain of loss that we all experience from time to time in life. Loss of loved ones, loss of health, loss of a job, loss of a relationship. This is the pain of life, and it's really inevitable. As Buddhists, we don't try to put a pretty face on things. This is the reality. But the suffering that the Buddha is talking about is what we add to a painful experience, to resistance to what's happening when we don't want it, to blaming ourselves or someone else, to denying the reality of what's happening. So this is the optional. This is optional. This is suffering. This is what we add when something painful happens. And so through our practice, we can become aware of what is painful, what is inevitable, what is I have no control over, and what do I have control over? My response. I have control over my response. The more I study through my practice, my suffering, the more I understand it, the freer I get. And so this path to inner freedom, to peace of mind, to peace of mind and heart, it does require action, as I mentioned, and effort. Show up. We need to show up, right? We need to show up for a practice on a regular basis and pay attention. So And in fact, each of the Four Noble Truths has an action associated with it. So the first noble truth asks us to understand the truth of suffering, that in addition to all the joy and beauty that we have in life, that there is this stress, suffering, anxiety, disappointment, unease, and sometimes we're not even knowing why we feel this way, but these feelings are present. So if, as we look at things as they really are, the action we take is just to understand. This is how it is. This is how it is when we're given this gift of a human life. And with the second noble truth, the action that we're asked to take if we want to cultivate this inner state of freedom is to let go. Is to let go. To loosen the grip. To lighten the grasping. To soften the resistance. To let go. The action that we're asked to take with the third noble truth is to realize it, to realize that each one of us has the potential of complete freedom in this very life through the Buddha's tools, practice the Noble Eightfold Path. And with the fourth noble truth, which is the Eightfold Path, we're simply asked to follow it. If this is what we want for ourselves, if this is the way that we frame our life, that we want to have a sense of true happiness and true contentment, then this is the path. The Buddha laid out a path. So don't ever let anyone tell you that that Buddhist practice is a passive practice. It does take action. And Kim is going to talk more about taking action in the second half of our time together. So this first step on the path, wise view, is this way of framing a life through the Four Noble Truths. You can try it out for yourself and see if it brings you a sense of satisfaction, if it begins that transformative process. Each one of us can decide for ourselves. And it is a radical and ennobling way of living a human life. So we have about 5 more minutes, and I just wanted to, that's a lot to cover, and I just wondered if anyone had a particular question or anything that they would, any response or anything that came up for you that you would like to voice. Could you just turn that off with the fan? It'll
just
be easier
turn it down
for me to,
slightly, yeah. Okay.
With the fan, I'll be able. Yeah, I can hear much better now.
We can hear you better too.
Oh.
You said we have about 5 more minutes. I'm really confused about the timing of this class.
Oh, okay.
It said 2:00 on the paper. The email I thought said 1:30, so I was running a few minutes late. But if you're saying it's 5 more minutes,
It's 5 more minutes until we're going to have a breakout session, and organize into groups of 3 or 4,
okay.
And talk about a question that I will be giving out.
Okay.
And then so the day goes that we'll have that breakout session, and then at about 2:40, we'll take a break for about 10 minutes. And then Kim will give a talk. And we'll have another breakout session after that. And so we'll go until actually 4
o'clock. Going until 4, yeah. 1:30 to 4 is going to be the Sunday sessions.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that an important part of the practice, though, is for someone to be free of considerable mental disease. And what I'm saying is that, you know, I'm thinking that someone, let's say, is going through a horrific situation. And they just, maybe it will sound dramatic, this, but it happened, right? I mean, we have young girls that are being abducted, right? So in that situation, I don't know, I put myself in the situation of someone, I'm putting myself in the place of that person, and I think that my first reaction will be depression. So if I'm getting depressed because I don't see a way out, I can accept this is what it is, but I'm not free to see the way out.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, sometimes the world is a very painful place to be in, to look at. And so that kind of response is a totally natural response. And so the beauty of it is that we have these tools of investigation, this practice, so that we can be with those dark moments. We can explore them. Hopefully, if it gets very dark, then we have someone that we can turn to for help out of a very dark time. But it is by turning towards that suffering, that pain, and being with it and exploring it and investigating it, that's the process, that begins the process of transformation. It's not by shutting things out, closing our eyes. It's not by, throwing ourselves into the fray. But it is by reflecting and using these tools of mindfulness practice to work with those feelings.
Yes.
And to take action if there's something that we can actually do to help a situation, but often there isn't anything that we can do.
Right, but what I'm getting to is that all of that will require really to be psychologically healthy, right. If someone has, you know, suffers from depression and severe depression, I don't know that. I think that first you have to get in that being psychologically healthy in order to deal with that.
I see what you're saying. Well, certainly for that kind of depression, medication is very important.
Right.
And, we don't want to... We don't want to deny ourselves certain medicines that can help us. But then this practice of ours is really to turn inward and investigate that when we can have a better stability for doing it. And sometimes we need to have medication to get to that point. Yeah. And this practice really is a psychology. I mean, if you take the time to study your own mind and how it's working, you don't need to take a class in psychology, right? Right. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so why don't we just take a moment and just breathe together here, and then I have... We'll organize into groups. But just take a few moments and just...
Breathe.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.